And we'd like to welcome you to today's podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries. Our goal at the ministry is to show you how God intends for all of us to be handling money. And we do this using the Bible. That's right. In the Bible, there are 2,500 verses dealing specifically on how we should be handling money. And we teach these principles as part of our Bible study. And you can learn more by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, we were reading an article on the wealthsimple.com website. And in their money diaries, they feature interesting people telling their financial life stories in their own words. Now, many of these stories are uplifting as people will show us how they've gotten financially straight. Now, there are also stories that are sad because people have gotten themselves into terrible financial situations. And the story that we're going to share today is of a couple who did everything wrong in their finances, and they continue to do everything wrong. So here's the story, and John and Evelyn are going to offer suggestions how we at Compass Catholic can help people recover from these same mistakes. So, John, that first mistake is going to be hard to believe. These individuals have an income.
Right?
Yep, they had some.
They had a big income.
Actually, they had a lot of income. They still couldn't make ends meet. I think she was making about $70,000, and his was somewhere above $90,000 a little bit. Plus, he attended bar two or three times a week and made anywhere from $100 to $250 a week tending bar.
No, per night.
Oh, per night.
Per night.
Okay, okay. So I guess the bartending added up to an additional $18,000. So, you know, that's a ton of money. Maybe $170,000, $180,000, $190,000. And they couldn't make ends meet. I know you're all crying for them.
Well, it's sad to think that somebody's making that much money and they can't make ends meet. And one of the things we do here at Compass Catholic is that we always encourage people to act their wage.
Act their wage. I love that. I love that.
Don't spend more than you make, and have a budget where every dollar is put in a category and is managed so that you know where every penny is spent.
Spending whatever income you earn without having any thoughts as to how you're spending it or where you're spending it is an absolute recipe for disaster.
When you say put dollars into a category, give me a couple of examples of categories.
Housing.
Groceries.
Transportation.
Okay,
giving.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
Entertainment.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. It's wherever you're spending your money. If you take the whole 360-degree circle of where you spend your money and divide it into pies, and each one of those pieces of pie is a different category, it encompasses the whole of your spending.
And it needs to be set up in a way that makes sense for you. If you have kids and they're in a lot of different activities and you want to manage how much money goes into those activities, that would be a slice of pie.
Okay.
So the second thing that these people ran into that were a financial train wreck was they didn't take any responsibility for their own actions.
No, they really didn't. You know, the comment they made about how they got into trouble, they started out by saying, I think education loans probably started us down this path. But credit cards got us in trouble too. It's like those credit cards are running right out of their wallets and jumping into the machines and buying stuff.
Use me, use me.
But that's what I noticed when I read that statement was that there was no personal sense of responsibility. They said the student loans and the credit cards got them into trouble. Well, there was somebody on the beginning end of that, the couple themselves, that started that path.
Somebody was carrying that credit card someplace.
So they didn't acknowledge that they took out the student loans and they used the credit cards irresponsibly.
You have to take responsibility for what you've done. And when people don't take responsibility, it just is a quagmire. And things get worse and worse. It's like the kids. They're not going to take responsibility for breaking the lamp or doing this or doing that. Somebody else, I don't know, Daddy. Well, these people needed some parents to guide them.
Well, the other thing is, I think if you don't take responsibility for getting into trouble, that also means you don't have any responsibility for getting out of trouble. So yes. It's almost like somebody needs to come along and fix this because I can't do it. I'm not an adult enough to do it.
Yeah, you got to look in the mirror and say, you, buddy, are the problem.
You made a mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely. Got us into this problem.
What we're doing at Compass is we're always trying to encourage people to take a realistic look at their finances, you know, how much money they earn and how much money they spend and they save and they give. You know, if you can have a handle on that, then you've got a good chance of having a financial situation that's easy to control.
And one that you're in control of. It's not controlling you. In this situation, their money's controlling them.
Yes.
Okay, the third problem is school debt. What did we learn about school debt, John?
The wife has a law degree, but she's never practiced. You know, I understand that. Things happen. Kids come. You're going to stay home with the kids. That's okay. Not only did she have a law degree, but she has all kinds of student loans because of the law degree. They said in an interview that the only time that they go on the student loan website is to request a deferral of the loan. They don't know how much is due. They think the loan might be about $90,000.
See, that's what I couldn't believe, was the fact that they didn't even know how much the debt was. That just blows my mind. Maybe it's because we've been managing our money so carefully for so long, but I can't believe somebody wouldn't know what a huge debt like that added up to.
But is this the same? And I've heard both of you talk about this numerous times. People who have credit card debt don't want to open the envelopes when they come in the mail from the credit card company because they don't want to know how much of that balance.
It overwhelms them. I think that's what's happening here in this case, is their total debt is overwhelming. And when you add it all up, and we're going to tell you what it all is in a little bit, but when you add it all up, it's just totally overwhelming to them. And I think a lot, you're right, Steve, I think a lot of people fall into that category.
If I ignore it, it'll go away?
No, I don't think that they think it's going to go away. They just don't, you know, they're overwhelmed and they don't know what to do about it, and so they're going to ignore it.
Yeah, when we
doesn't
coach,
mean it's going to go away. They're just going to ignore it.
Yeah, when we've coached individuals and asked them about their credit card debt, they don't know. The response is, it's large. Well, how large
how
is large?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's large. So they really don't have a clue. I think they do. They just don't want to
admit it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and these people said that they almost never paid anything on the school loans because, like you said earlier, every year they just request financial hardship and defray it. So basically, it's like a snowball rolling downhill because you have the original amount that's gathering interest, and then the next year the interest plus the original amount gathers interest, and it's a snowball going in the wrong direction.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, they've probably got $30,000 to $50,000 worth of interest payments on those school loans. And it's just another example of not taking responsibility for their own personal finances. You know, they think that they're escaping because they're getting these deferrals, and it's just making it bigger and bigger and bigger. And
it's like a financial tsunami.
There you go. There you go.
Well, the less they pay, the more interest adds on, and the bigger the loan gets, the more interest they're charged. So it's just over and over again, they're going to be buried by it.
So they have $60,000 in credit card debt, they think.
You know, so these
are all thinks, okay? Yeah.
So this is the total loan picture.
Yeah, the total loan picture. They think they've got $60,000 in credit cards. They got $18,000 in a personal loan from a parent. They've got a $360,000 in mortgage. So that's about $600,000 worth of loans that they think that they have.
So that's those numbers plus the student loans that they've already deferred.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, it's probably closer to $750,000. You know, what are you going to do? Anytime we deal with people who want to get their finances straight, one of the first things we have them do is list all of their debt. Put it on a piece of paper and let it stare you dead in the face. You got to know every penny, you got to write down. You know, if you don't do it, then you have no chance of getting anything paid off.
It's getting honest with you. Yeah. It's that look in the mirror you talked about before. It's getting honest with yourself and really figuring out where you are so you know where you need to go.
And in the beginning, it's not easy.
Oh, it's not easy.
Because you don't want to look at that. You don't want to see it there.
But how bad is it? How depressing is it to be shouldering this humongous mound of debt? Mm-hmm. Month after month after month, and knowing it's getting bigger.
It's like the boogeyman under your bed when you were a kid. You want to look him in the face. Get rid of him. If he comes out and sees you, then you don't have to worry about him anymore. You know how ugly he is. You know exactly how ugly he is, right?
This sounds like you had a really weird childhood. I don't know.
So all the debt includes what? Mortgage, car loans, credit cards, student loans, regular bills that are past due, and even good old Uncle Fred, the money yeah. Uncle Fred loaned you,
well,
right?
Actually, in their case, it was Mom and Dad loaned them money. They've got to list their debt and add it up and then figure out how much interest are they paying each month on that debt.
You know, I think that's a turning point for most people when they actually see in black and white how much interest they're wasting every month, because you can't find that out until you add up the debts.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you don't know, then, you know, you don't have a place to start.
And you think, oh, the interest isn't that much, you know, but when you actually see it in black and white, that's usually a very big wake-up call.
Well, and especially when you've got it on this much debt.
Yes.
Just the interest on a $360,000 mortgage that has no principal, okay, is going to be humongous.
That has no principal?
They've borrowed everything. You know, the house valued. They have no equity.
Equity.
The house is valued at the loan amount.
Yes. Yeah, that's not good.
No.
Today, we're going through an article that we came across on WealthSimple.com. It's the story of a couple who have dug themselves into a very deep financial hole, and it appears that the hole keeps getting deeper. So you're listening at home, and you're thinking, geez, we have some of these same train wrecks that we're involved in. Well, John and Evelyn are offering possible solutions to these train wrecks. And so, John, let's get into some of the other financial mistakes this couple has made.
Another thing that's an issue, and we went through this personally, you know, a long time ago when we were having our problems, but credit cards become a way to supplement your income. And that's what these people are doing. To have that much credit card debt, they've got to be supplementing their income, which is already a huge amount of income, but they're supplementing that with their credit cards.
Well, the other thing that I found surprising, and this is another look at yourself in the mirror and see where you are, was they had no idea how many credit cards they had. They thought it was someplace between 10 or 15, maybe, and 8 of them are already maxed out. The other thing that was weird is they said they can't believe how many credit card solicitations they get in the mail. But listen to this.
Well, duh.
Every time they get one, they take it.
Yeah, they use it.
So they're building more debt, but they know it's stupid because they know the credit card companies are stupid to send it to them, but yet they still accept it and use the additional credit cards. So I think the banks are just using them as a cash cow. Look, Here's somebody's going to pay us 20% per year. Let's get them deeper in debt.
So how many credit cards do you recommend?
I'd say 2.
A primary and a backup.
A primary and a backup, because a lot of we use an American Express because we get miles, mm-hmm. airline miles on that. And we use the airline miles for ministry travel.
So when the solicited cards arrive in the mailbox, you just cut and throw away?
We don't get any. I don't know how, but we don't give it away.
No, we opted out.
Yeah.
You can opt out of credit cards. Yeah. I don't remember the exact.
I think it's opt out.com.
Yeah, I think if you use that.
But for those that are listening or at home, the best practice, have 2, primary, secondary.
Pay them off every month and get rid of the other ones.
If you can't eliminate the balance every single month, then you have no business using that card.
Now, a word of caution, when you say get rid of the other ones, it's don't use them, cut them up, destroy them, but don't close the accounts because that'll hurt your credit score.
Right.
You know, some financial people recommend not using any credit cards, but I think that's next to impossible in this day and age. I mean, you can hardly buy gas anymore without using a credit card or an airplane ticket mm-hmm. or
Rental
renting
car.
A car
yeah.
or, you know,
yeah.
it's kind of hard to live without using a credit card. But if you use it responsibly, that's the key.
And here's another thing. In this past month, we made a couple of very large purchases, which we did on the credit cards. So instead of having maybe 20% usage on the credit cards, it went up to almost 50% usage. And our credit score went down. Almost immediately.
Like by 5 or 10 points.
Right.
Yeah.
Just because the usage was higher.
Right. Yeah.
But then we paid it off and it went back up again. So another thing these people who are the financial train wreck are doing wrong is they're paying for a private school that they can't afford.
That just makes no sense whatsoever. Well, I mean, I understand going to a private school if it's a Catholic school, I can understand that. But if it's not a Catholic school, I don't understand it.
Well, and if it is, you know, if you are choosing to send your child to private school, then you need to fudge elsewhere in the budget in order to be able to pay for it.
Well, they're fudging.
Yeah, they're fudging big time.
Listen to this, Steve. The cost of the tuition per child is $32,000.
Wow.
That's like college. Per child, $32,000. So that adds up to $96,000. Well, they declared hardship, and now they're only paying a total of $15,000 for all three children.
And with that type of income, declaring hardship.
I don't know.
Well, that's what really, I think, burned me when I read this was because, you know, these people have a gracious plenty in income and they're making stupid decisions, but they get to declare hardship. And there's other people that are truly hardship cases that don't make enough money to make ends meet. And they're the people that deserve to get the benefit of a hardship case.
You know, that question of private school has come up in coaching families. You know, where do you draw the line? I mean, what we recommend is to evaluate the public schools that are in the area versus the quality of education at the private school. I mean, do you have another recommendation? Because there are people that have the mindset, I have to send my child to a private school because education is so much better.
I don't think that you can make that case in an awful lot of situations. Just going to a pure private school for the sake of going to a private school, because maybe their education is better. And if you can't afford it, then I would say no. When it comes to Catholic education, I can understand, and it makes the decision process much more difficult, because I can understand wanting the kids to go to a Catholic school. But again, if you can't afford it, even with help from the parish or the diocese or you know, whatever, if you're getting scholarship help, you shouldn't be going into debt. You got to get your finances squared away. I mean, how are you going to pay for college for the kid if you can't even pay for elementary or high school? College is going to be a lot more expensive. So you better be saving.
You know, if I had to do it all over again, I think I would take a serious look at homeschooling. We talk to a lot of homeschool moms.
Oh, that's interesting.
And
okay.
It's a much more robust thing than it was when our son was a child. And I would really seriously consider homeschooling, because I think that you have many more opportunities to teach them in a broader spectrum. Like, you can take them to the zoo and teach them about math.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just all kinds of different ways you can bring the different subjects.
Or biology.
Subjects into day-to-day life.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Plus, there's a lot more opportunity to develop a relationship with your child, because you're able to go on these experiences. You can go on vacation. It becomes an education. Vacation becomes an education. And, you know, I agree with Evelyn. I think it's a great idea.
So you would be the homeschool parent?
You know, it wouldn't bother me at all.
It may bother the child, but
probably, yes. Yeah.
Now, another mistake these people made was they wanted a bigger house. Now, note, they didn't say they needed a bigger house. They said they wanted a bigger house. So they bought a house they couldn't afford about 3 years ago. Like John said earlier, they used both the first and a second mortgage to buy the house. And they've even refinanced the first mortgage, which means more money wasted due to the refinancing charges.
Mm-hmm.
And their house is exactly worth what they owe on it. So that is not a good place to be. No wiggle room, no equity in the house. There's, you know, if the bottom drops out of the real estate market again, they are going to lose money.
And the biggest problem is now that they've gone back and gotten second mortgages and you know, potentially even third mortgages, they could very easily lose their house if creditors came after them.
Yeah, sooner or later, that's going to happen sooner or later if they're that
absolutely
far behind on all the different
absolutely
bills.
If they're going to sell their house, they're going to lose money because they're not going to be able to afford the realtor's commission and that kind of stuff. So they've just really created a quagmire.
That's why we're calling it a train wreck.
Yes, a train wreck. Yes, they did.
So we recommend, as far as housing goes, that all the housing costs add up to no more than 40% of the total budget. And the housing costs include the mortgage and the repairs and the upkeep and the utilities and the furniture and all that kind of stuff.
Also the insurance?
Also the insurance.
Taxes.
Also, yes.
Taxes, Every house related should add up to no more than 40%
so
of your total budget.
So 40 is max.
Max.
No matter what your income.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, it grows as your income grows, but you know, that's, and some people will stretch it. Some people may get as high as 50, but if they do, then they've got to cut back in
somewhere
other
else.
Areas. And it makes it pretty difficult if your mortgage or your housing costs are that high.
Now, here's a bad thing that we also did. They were looking for a quick fix, and they cashed out his 401k, which was about $70,000.
Yeah, they paid off three credit cards with that. And then they also paid off the $12,000 loan that they took out that they used the 401k as collateral for. So if they cashed it out, they had to pay it off. You know, they didn't have any choice about that. And so because they had all this financial relief, believe it or not, they had a really good Christmas that year.
Well, not a good idea, people.
But they didn't understand the tax penalties because they weren't over age 59 and a half. And so they had to pay a 10% penalty, plus they had to pay taxes. And, you know, they ended up owing the IRS $18,000, and they owed the state $2,000 in taxes.
Unbelievable.
So they got 70. It cost them 20 to get it.
So they really only got 50, but they, that's, I can't even do the math. That's way... That's a very deaded math, right?
Yeah, and they thought it was a quick fix, but...
not so much.
Not so much, yeah.
So then what happened next?
They borrowed money to pay off debt from their parents. And now they owe their parents.
Which the poor parents will probably
never
see.
They're never going to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure in the back of their mind, I'm thinking, my parents will be the last we pay.
Yeah.
The problem with these people is they fulfill their wants. They pay no attention to their needs. You know, they said they shop at Goodwill for all of their clothing because they can't afford retail prices.
But wait, listen to this. They go to Whole Foods every Friday to get their son a snack, which consists of a smoothie and sushi, which adds up to about
$20. Yeah.
Now, what's that teaching the son about mom and dad are in financial trouble? So we're going to treat you to a $20 snack every year just because you want it.
Wait a minute. It's even better than that. The son had a prom. He needed a tuxedo for the prom. I'm not sure why a high schooler needs a tuxedo for a prom, but they could have gotten one used or rented one, but they didn't have the cash, so they used a credit card to buy him a new one.
That's just awful, isn't it? So I don't know if these people are Catholic or even if they go to church because they never mention faith in their interview, but the sad thing is that they're missing the joy of living as a steward of all the blessings that God's given them. And the really sad thing is that at the end of the interview, they talked about the fact that they would be better off if one of them died because they would have insurance to pay off their debt.
But they wouldn't have any more money left over because the insurance probably isn't going to pay off all that debt. If you got $750,000 worth of debt.
So don't be a financial train wreck.
Yeah, great thing, Evelyn. Don't be irresponsible when it comes to your finances. Now, if you'd like to share this program with someone, simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, and hit the button that says podcast. You'll find this and all of our past shows. And before we leave you today, let's answer a few of our emails. John and Evelyn, I just received a copy of my credit report and saw a debt on there from last summer that I do not recognize at all. What should I do?
Well, the first thing you need to do is to contact the credit reporting agency and file a letter of dispute. And it's real important to do it in writing, either through a letter that you send certified or an email, because you need documentation of what you told them and when you told them.
Yes, because, you know, when they receive that letter of dispute, what they're going to do is they're going to contact the company that says that you owe them money. And if the company cannot provide documentation within 30 days of what that debt was and why and all that good stuff, then the credit reporting agency is supposed to delete it from your credit report. Make sure that you send your letter by certified mail with receipt capabilities so that you have proof that you sent them the letter.
And follow up and make sure it's been resolved.
Yeah, don't just think it's going to happen.
Just because you sent the letter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's get to one more email. This one says, help John and Evelyn. Except for our mortgage, my husband and I are totally debt-free. He will be 59 and a half in December, and we are considering cashing in an IRA to pay off the mortgage. We will still have his retirement to live on. Is this a responsible idea?
Well, the good news is that at 59 and a half, you don't get hit with that 10% penalty for going into your IRA and doing what they call an early withdrawal. So the things that you've got to consider is how much money are you actually going to have as retirement income, and is it sufficient to meet all of the expenses that you've identified with your budget? Because I know you've got a budget, at least you better have one. If your retirement is sufficient, then it's okay to use an IRA for your mortgage payment. Or you could just kind of save it and maybe pay it off over the next 5 years. And don't take that whole lump sum of the IRA, but take it partially each of the next 5 years and have it paid off by the time you fully retire.
Well, isn't there a tax hit to the IRA, depending on how much you're withdrawing and how much your tax percentage is?
Well, you have to pay taxes on it, but if you're over 59 and a half, there's no penalties.
Okay, but you still might want to consider what your total income is for that year and how much that IRA, if you're withdrawing a huge amount, how much that will impact your taxes.
Yes, because it's added to your normal income.
If you're experiencing a financial challenge and you would like some advice from John and Evelyn, by all means, email your question or questions to ask@compasscatholic.org. That's ask@compasscatholic.org. And for John and Evelyn Bean, I want to thank you so much for listening. And remember, we post a brand new podcast each and every Wednesday morning, bright and early. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage and click on podcast. Plus, you'll also find an archive of all the shows that we've done just for you. This is Manager Money God's Way, and we are from Compass Catholic Ministries.